Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Oh, and by the way, wouldn't it be great for the holidays to have a new vehicle? And the warranty means so much. It means a lot. And not only that, but also great pre-owned inventory that has the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a terrific service department that backs it all up. Whether it's routine, you need routine maintenance. No getting around it. You have to have it. But then if there's something difficult that comes up, they can handle that as well. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at
Todd's not here today. Caleb filling in.
Yeah, it is. It's me. I'm not doing too bad. How are you?
Good question. I mean, I'm an Eagles fan, and that Cowboys loss still in the back of my mind, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tough one. But tough and, look, tough but expected. I've said this before, and I know the Eagles fans don't like it, and honestly, I don't really care if you do or not. I have no dog in the hunt. You do. So you're talking with your hearts. I'm just sitting there analytically looking at them. They're an 8-5 team that's 10-3. You know, they are really fortunate, won a couple of games they probably shouldn't have won, but that's okay, because in the NFL you are judged on whether you win it or not. It's not in style points, right? But there's a reality that when you get into some of the bigger games that you might not be good enough, and that's what I've been seeing with this Eagles team, that when in bigger games, my sense was they were not going to be good enough. And against San Francisco and at Dallas, they were not. That doesn't mean they can't win it all, because they can win it all, because it's all going to depend on who they get matched up with. Okay? It's all going to depend on who they get. You can't assume they're going to play Dallas. You can't assume they're going to play San Francisco. You can't. Because crazy things happen in the playoffs. Last year, yeah, the 2-1 seeds made it, Kansas City and Philadelphia. But the one seeds don't make it every year. And sometimes you've got a pathway that's a bit different. So it doesn't mean they can't make it, because they may not see either one of those teams. Or they themselves may get knocked out. But the path down the stretch, two games with the Giants, one with Arizona, and then, of course, I got Seattle on Monday night. Now let's give the Giants credit. At least they're playing well. They're playing they're playing better. I mean, they beat Green Bay last night, and Green Bay was the team that had everything to play for. Green Bay had put themselves into the playoffs before last night, and the Giants won. Tennessee beat Miami. But again, what continues to plague teams? I'm watching over now. It's, to me, when the Giants make mistakes, it's because of youth. Like the Giants have the youngest defense in the league at 25 years of age, average age. When the Packers make mistakes, it is because of youth, especially in the offensive side. That's the youngest offense, age-wise and experience-wise, in the league. So youth happens. All right? It's something you have to overcome, experience and so forth. But I'm seeing experienced players. I mean, the Tony play is just typical of how he's played in the league. Like, just not, okay, doesn't pay attention to the details. He doesn't put any attention into detail. Right? You're supposed to look over at the linesman, make sure, am I lined up all right? It's a habit. You're supposed to do it on every play. Did he do it? Nope, never even looked over. Never even looked over. Right? I'm watching these games last night, and it's like everything's being determined on mistakes. I mean, mistakes over and over again. And I'm talking like some of them are common sense mistakes. Let's see. Chip Traynham is going to transfer from Ohio State to Kentucky. The running back. Riley Leonard, we told you that we thought the quarterbacks were going to go, and we said he would end up at Notre Dame. Today he ended up at Notre Dame. So he's there. And Shohei Ohtani, 10 years, $700 million deal. He's going to defer 97% of it. $680 million will be deferred and will be paid to Ohtani between 2034 and 2043. Oh. Now, that would mean he'd be getting $2 million a year during the 10-year contract. But don't feel badly for him, because right now he's making about $45 million a year in endorsements. $45 million a year in endorsements.
I mean, he's setting himself up so he doesn't have to worry about any sort of money in the future once he's done playing baseball. So, I mean, smart on his end, I feel.
I mean, Caleb, look at the suit. He only does the sales thing as a hobby. He's, I mean, I know you can't tell by the vehicles he drives, but I mean, he's ultra rich. Did you know that?
I got that vibe. Trying to hide his richness. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And he's good at it. He's good. I got to give the suit credit. He is good when it comes to hiding how rich he truly is. He's outstanding at it. All right. We got Neil Coulong today. It's later in the show. And, of course, we have... And Matt's going to do his rant of the day at 1:35. So, $680 million between 2034 and 2043. Holy mackerel. There'll be no Justin Herbert in Thursday night's game. Season-ending surgery on the broken finger. Okay? So that's why he will not play. And... So they will go with Easton Stick will be the starting quarterback. This guy was a fifth-round pick back in 2019. I can't tell you much of anything about him at all. Derwin James says we have all the confidence in the world in him. He gives it, you know, because let's face it, James faces him every week in practice. He's the scout team quarterback. Backup quarterback's always the scout team quarterback. But he'll be the starter. And Max Duggan, the rookie out of TCU, led them to the national championship game last year, is the backup quarterback. Just what Thursday Night Football wanted. The Raiders and the Chargers with Ethan Stick as the starter, and I say that with all due respect to Ethan Stick. For all we know, he can come out and play like Jake Browning, which would be great. Dylan Burks is going to transfer the wide receiver from Purdue to Oklahoma. Drake May is not going to play in the bowl game. He's going right to the draft. Many feel he'll be a top five pick. I mentioned Chip Traynham from Ohio State to Kentucky. We mentioned Riley Leonard from Duke to Notre Dame. Sam Hartman's opting out of the Sun Bowl. He is starting his draft prep as well. And the bowl games start on Saturday. And we will be doing our bowl picks, our annual bowl picks. The question is, we've invited the suit to do this every year. I'm inviting him again. And believe me, he takes this, Caleb, seriously.
I believe you.
We're talking about a guy that sits down, and the problem is that the opening bowl weekend, the opening Saturday, which I will not see because I've got a basketball game at Madison Square Garden, has 7 games to get started. We only have an hour. He will talk so much in the opening half hour about the 7 games that we'll have to tell him, like, we got more to do here. Like, look, I don't need you to break down New Mexico State, Fresno State. I don't need it. Just go.
You should put, like, a word limit on him.
Look, between Dave Ritchie, myself, and really everybody that's ever worked with him, we've tried. It just got to the point where we just turned off the mic. 2 hours later, he's still talking. But yeah, I mean, a week from today, we've got the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Will you watch? Will you? Okay, let me add cable. Let's go this route. Do you like to watch bowl games?
I think they're very interesting to see because it's it's almost like it's just one last hoorah. I played football for Grove City for a year, and that 1 year we made it to a bowl game, and it really mattered to us. I can say that it really did.
Yeah,
we were trying to go for back-to-back-to-back bowl game wins, and then I think we won something like 45-13. And like, it was a blowout, but it was a really important game for us because, I mean, we cared about it a lot. And that's D3. I mean,
that's fine. There's nothing wrong. D2, 3, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But
game's a game.
Exactly.
So are you going to watch these games?
I'll probably, maybe not early on, but like, definitely when the bigger games, like the top 25 teams start playing,
sure,
I'll definitely tune in more because, I mean, I feel like that could have more impact heading into the next season because I think you might also want to consider that is like if Penn State beats Ole Miss, you'll be like, hey, we got this like strong win at the end of the season. We're going to bring that momentum into next season.
All right. And that's a big part of this. And what's interesting is, I was talking about the Peach Bowl with Gary Stokin yesterday, and I mentioned this. It turned out in terms of matchup, which they don't control. I mean, they wanted Penn State. Hold on a second. I'm just making sure Neil's all set here. I think we're gonna shoot for 206 for Neil. Anytime is good before 3:45. It's good. All set. You look at this game coming up, Peach Bowl. Yeah, there are going to be guys that will be playing their last game. Okay. But then you've got a bunch of guys, and this is where the practice part comes in. They are going into practice number, I want to say, practice 6 maybe on Friday, 6, 7, 8, maybe it's practice 7 coming up on Friday. For the young players, the last 2 weeks have been absolutely invaluable for the future of the program. Invaluable. Now, at some point, it's going to transition into locking in on the game, and they're in that transition point now because everybody went on Saturday. And they'll go again on Friday. All right. The rant is next.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Brand new vehicle, warranty, great combination. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. Well, if it does, they go over every vehicle so it gets the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a terrific service department. They're always looking for more technicians because they have a lot of work. So whether it happens to be routine, difficult, they can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, do we have our ranter ready to go?
Yeah, the rant's ready to go.
Okay. His motto is, where hate is great, we bring in Matt Catrillo and the rant of the week.
Oh, that's definitely right. And let's say get ready for major hate this week.
Wow. Caleb, put your feet up. You've got nothing to do for the next half hour.
Yeah, I'm going to chill for a good amount of time.
There you go.
But as a fellow Eagle fan, I know Caleb will enjoy it. I know you guys already talked about it. So this is a perfect segue, in fact. And I'm going to start with going after Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown for the atrocity that they displayed on Sunday night. That really was one of many things that cost the Eagles the game. It's one thing about the defense of how bad they played. Jalen Hurts is continuing to have some turnover problems. But what was most disappointing was that not one of those guys, but both those guys came up that small in that type of game in those types of different moments in the game against the Cowboys Sunday night. I mean, going with A.J. Brown for a second, he's at least obviously been a stud. And Devontae Smith still had a really good year, too. But A.J. Brown in particular has been an absolute stud, arguably one of the best, if not the best receiver in the league. And because he's such a big, strong body, some of the ways that he's been fumbling the football, first of all, he should know better. And second of all, it just shouldn't happen by his stature. And this is not the first time that he's had fumbling issues when he's trying to get yards after the catch. This is something that should have been corrected long ago. So that's one. And then two with Devontae Smith, I'll tell you what, ever since he started complaining about not getting the ball when A.J. Brown had that big tear earlier in the season, I've been noticing, this is when you've been noticing some of these inconsistencies from him the last couple of games. Sure, he's had some brilliant moments, but at the same time, he's been having these uncharacteristic drops, looking like he is not interested in taking a hit, and then he drops the football. Plus, he's had fumbles himself. I mean, I am not really pleased with the mentality of him right now in Devontae Smith. Because I'll tell you what, if I had to choose one or the other, I'm going with A.J. Brown all day. And he's getting coming up to his contract, so he better watch it, first of all. So that's where I start with the receivers. Secondly, I know I've been critical of Sean Desai, and he started losing me a little bit.
He'd better watch it. Really? This is what the show's come down to? He'd better watch it.
Yeah, that's right. He's playing himself out of a spot with the Eagles. Let me tell you that right now. But in terms of the coaching staff, Desai obviously was starting to lose me with the way that first half went, because I just don't understand how you could have two great three-and-out drives against the 49ers, and then from that point on into the first half of last game in Dallas, that you're giving up all touchdown drives except for the 60-yard field goal that kid hit in the second quarter. I just don't understand that. But at least in the second half, it looked like he made some adjustments. Obviously, they get the scoop and score by Jalen Carter and Fletcher Cox. They only gave up 9 points in the second half. So at least there were some adjustments there. But I'm still in to see a lot more improvement from him on the defensive side for him to be fully back in my corner. But I'm going after the head coach of Nick Sirianni. Now, I'm not ready to fire him. I'm not ready to say he's not a good coach. I'm not that far down the rabbit hole yet. But what I am saying is my mind could change with how he handles and how this season ends for the Eagles in the next 4 weeks plus. If it ends poorly, then my mindset is going to change. Right now, I think he's a very good coach. I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's a very good coach. But that can change if things don't change in these last 4 weeks plus into the playoffs. Because I'll tell you what, I don't like what I've been seeing from Eagles players in terms of certain quotes that have been coming out of the locker room. Now, I get it. They're frustrated. It's been a terrible 2 games. I get that. Players are allowed to be frustrated and voice their frustrations. But when you're seeing this left and right and you're starting to question the coaching staff and philosophies, that's a big red flag for me in terms of future of the head coach. And that tells me, too, that maybe there's a little bit of a crack in terms of Nick Sirianni and confidence from his players in that locker room. And that's pretty sad considering you're coming off a Super Bowl run last year and being close to winning the Super Bowl last year. So there's a lot for Nick Sirianni to prove, both from an X's and O's and game planning standpoint and from a leadership standpoint in these next 4 games. So this is why I'm saying I still think he's going to be a very good coach and find a way to figure things out. It's probably not going to be perfect, but I think it'll be a lot better than what it's been the last 2 weeks. But if not, then my mindset's going to change. And maybe I will be calling for his job at the end of the year. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I don't like where this team is heading right now. I really don't.
Did you ever consider maybe you're not that good?
On the defensive side, yes. I think they have gotten old very quickly in the secondary, which did worry me slightly. I think Bradbury's had a better year than Slay. I'm pretty much ready to move on from Darius Slay. I'm ready to move on from him. Bradbury, not so much yet, but he's close. So I think that is part of it. But offensively, there should be no excuses.
It's just Slay. You can't call him by his first name.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't understand why it's not even my team, and I know that. I mean, I don't understand the lack of respect on your part.
How about we play better than maybe a pick six every once in a while? That would help. Don't come up small in the Super Bowl, let alone the whole second half of the season last year, and they won despite you. Then maybe I can call you by your first name.
Oh, goodness. All right, so this is how I look at the Eagles right now. And as you know, I've said that they're an 8-5 team that's 10-3. Okay? They were, you know, in the NFL, all that matters is wins. It does not matter about style points. But they have that 8-5 look in the 10-3, but they've been able to get to 10-3. They've caught some breaks. They've taken advantage of them. Good. But this is where I think they are right now. They need their best players to start playing like their best players. Fletcher Cox played like one of their best players the other night. I thought he played great. Jalen Carter.
Agreed.
Jalen Carter, I don't care. The scoop and score. Why is he even out there to make the scoop and score? Because he's so far out of the play, he got lucky and the ball bounced to him. So don't tell me, see, he scored. He's having a great year. Slow down. He had a lousy game again. It's been a month of lousy games for Jalen Carter. I mean, he has not played well. Jordan Davis, back-to-back weeks. Okay? Did he even make the trip? Not playing well. Okay? Jalen Hurts, very up and down, very inconsistent. Best player, not playing well. Brown, Gilmore took him out. Gilmore took him out of the game. And the Eagles were stubborn and they kept going at him. You go at Bland. There's a reason why Bland, believe it or not, there's actually a reason why Bland has 5 interceptions for touchdowns. Right? Number one, he's done a great job playing and he's been able to make plays. But ask yourself, why does Gilmore have none, but Bland has a bunch? Because you don't want to throw at Gilmore. You want to throw at Bland. And Seattle did over and over and over again. Because he's not that great a cover guy. And the Eagles wouldn't go that way. I couldn't understand the game plan. They kept going at Gilmore like it was some sort of pride thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's the best player on the field tonight. Like, the best player on the field. On either team. Better than Dak. Better than everybody. He's the best player in the field. Why did they keep attacking the best player in the field who kept proving over and over again he was? Go to the other guy. There's a reason why everybody else is going at the other guy. Because Gilmore is still really, really good. Smith has been good, so I'm not going to put this on him. I think Smith's been good. Can he be better? Sure. Brown has not played well. Getting Goddard back is big. Hurts has been up and down. And Kelsey and a couple of members of that offensive line have not played well. Right? You need to have, down the stretch, your best players have to become your best players again.
Yeah, I 100% agree. All those guys you mentioned are pinpoint. I put it more on... I think when it comes to Carter and Davis, they've kind of hit that rookie wall a little bit. They've been playing a lot of snaps because of the way things have gone. So they have not played well. So I definitely agree there. But I think they still have had good years for the most part. But I look, like I said before, I look on the offensive side of the ball. The skill guys, Hurts and Brown, Smith, they all have to be 100% better. It all goes through Hurts, first of all. And, yeah, the offensive line's got to be better, too. But here's how, as I said last week on the show, here's how you help your offensive line, Nick and Brian Johnson. Run the ball. Run the dang ball. Because guess what? You had some success against them yet again and when you started on that opening drive. But as you mentioned, they have been stubborn with the passing game and throwing the ball to both Brown and also to Devontae Smith. When you look at the Eagles' targets in the passing game from the Dallas game alone, all the targets were to those three guys, Goddard, Smith, and A.J. Brown. Guess what? I like what Olamide Zaccheaus has done. Every time that the Eagles have thrown him the football, he's made a big catch. I want to see more of him. I've had enough of throwing the ball to freaking Chris Watkins and also to Kenny Gainwell in the running game. Enough of those guys. They can't play at this level. Get the ball to those three guys. Continue to do that. I'm not saying don't give the ball to those three guys in your best hands, but give the ball to Olamide Zaccheaus and use DeAndre Swift more. What did you trade for him for in a bargain trade? Not only in the run game, but also in the pass game. Where has that gone? It's unbelievable.
Well, Zaccheaus, of course, is getting single coverage. That's, you know, he's not considered a threat, so...
Yeah, but to your point, if you're using the best players on the guys like A.J. Brown, then go after those guys.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
It's all about matchups.
Yeah, exactly right. And Eagles just aren't, and this coaching staff is just not doing it right now. That's why and that goes to my point before when it comes to Nick Sirianni in general as a coach. He's got a lot to prove from an X's and O's and game planning standpoint and a leadership standpoint these last 4 weeks plus and then into the postseason. It's huge for him. To me, I don't want to go too dramatic and say it's make or break. I'm not going to go that far, but it's as close as you can get to that.
Seattle will be a tough game. They'll sweep the Giants. They'll beat Arizona. They should win the division, which will give them the first, and they're not going to get the first round bye unless San Francisco fouls it up. They should be the 2 seed when it's all said and done, if it plays out right.
Agreed, yeah. And right now, I think the ceiling for the Eagles is, however you slice it and dice it, whether they somehow get the 1 seed or whether they have to play in the wild card round and they win a home game, they're not getting past the divisional round right now. I don't think they beat Dallas or San Francisco in the divisional round, whether you have them at home as the 1 seed or whether you have to go on the road to either one of them, because right now that just proves they just can't play with them right now.
Right.
Maybe they do better against Dallas after seeing some things that we talked about with maybe trying to work on some better matchups. But I got to tell you, that's the team ceiling right now. You win one playoff game, or you're one and done as a one seed.
Right. Well, they won't be one and done. Look, the NFL is... it's interesting.
Well, I'm saying one and done as if they're the one seed. They get the first round bye. I don't think they win that divisional round one way or the other. Is what I'm saying. They'll if they are a wild card team, they'll win that game, but they're not getting past the divisional round. That's the bottom line for me right now.
Yeah, look, they are. I guess there's no question they're a very good team. Okay, very good team, and we're comparing them to other very good teams. I mean, right now at this hour, they're the 5 seed, and the Steelers are a 6 seed. What does that tell you?
Oh yeah, this is the wildest, most wide open playoff picture I've ever seen. Adam Schefter just put out the stat today. There are 30 teams still legitimately alive in the playoff picture. Most of it comes with everybody 7-6 in the AFC. It's nuts.
Well, no, it's nuts, but I don't look at anybody as being good.
I totally agree.
San Francisco's really good. The Eagles are very good. Dallas is very good. I think Baltimore is very good. I think Baltimore, they've got a game coming up. Who's their game this week? It's a pretty good game. Baltimore is playing who? Kansas City's got New England. Not sure. Baltimore is Miami, right? I think Miami.
Yeah, and then in a couple of weeks they play San Francisco on Christmas Eve, I believe.
Yeah.
Or Christmas. It's the Monday. It's the Christmas night game on ESPN.
Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday game, right?
Baltimore, all right.
Miami,
it is
a Saturday, the 30th, something like that.
31st.
30. That's a Sunday. So they've got that game. Again, I like Miami. I know they didn't win last night. Miami's at least fun to watch. The league is very lean on really good teams. And part of it is the quarterback issue. Although I'll say this, I watched last night and I saw Will Levis, Tua Tagovailoa, Tommy DeVito, and Jordan Love, and felt like I was watching 4 quarterbacks better than Kenny Pickett.
That is pretty sad, isn't it, from the Steelers' standpoint?
I mean, DeVito's got guts, I'll say that. I mean, look, is he going anywhere? No, but he's got guts.
Yeah, I agree. He's got the highest passer rating of any quarterback in the last 3 weeks. How insane is that? So that's not – when the Giants play the Eagles, I think the Eagles still win both games, but I'll tell you what, it's not going to be a walk in the park for the Eagles. DeVito's playing pretty well. He takes a lot of sacks, which I think plays in the Eagles' hands in both matchups, but he's playing well.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, is he a great quarterback? No. But do I give him credit? Yeah. I mean, he's got some chutzpah.
Yeah, he does.
He's got a little, there's certain people, for example, that you'd want to jump in the foxhole with. Okay. He'd be one of them. Right? Meanwhile, the suit would be throwing people out of the foxhole. He just wants it to himself. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean,
and Kenny Pickett would be the first one he'd throw out, and Mike Tomlin.
Get out of here.
Which I don't necessarily disagree with either, but I'm just saying.
So, do you feel better now after this?
I do. Like, this is the whole reason why we set this up after I left, and I thank you for that each and every week, because this is still very cathartic for me, even though it's only once a week. But I look forward to this every week because I know I'm going to feel better, and my blood pressure will be a little bit, will be coming back to normal, at least close to it. You're my sports therapist. Not only are you my former co-host, but you are always will be a good friend of mine and my sports therapist.
I listen.
I still can't put this stuff off Lisa half the time. She's like, yeah, they stink. We know. Yeah, we know that they're losing. Whatever. Oh, they're going to lose this week. Don't blow it. Don't worry about it. This is what I get. I can't get through to her yet.
I think she's got the right attitude.
Or she's tuning me out, one or the other. I don't know.
What was that?
Probably the latter.
What was that?
See, there you go.
Talk to you next week, my friend. Thanks so much.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Bob Nightingale next half hour. Neil Coulong final half hour as we continue, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Bob Nightingale in the next half hour. Gee, I wonder if he'll talk about Shohei Ohtani. Neil Coulong. We'll get into the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the word depression will come up. What a segment that was, huh?
Incredible.
I told you, I just kind of laid back and just let her roll. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Here on News Radio 1070, WKOK.